Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 360 Finance Second Quarter 2020 Earnings Conference Call. Please also note today's event is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference call over to Ms. Mandy Dong, IR Director. Please go ahead, Mandy.
Thank you, Shane. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our second quarter 2020 earnings conference call. Our results were issued earlier today on the IR website. Joining me today are Mr. Wu Haisheng, our CEO and Director, Mr. Alex Xu, our CFO, and Mr. Zheng Yan, our CRO. Before we begin the prepared remarks, I'd like to remind you of the company's safe harbor statement. Except for historical information, the material discussed here may contain forward-looking statements. These statements are based on our current plan, estimates, and projections. Therefore, you should not place undue reliance on them. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risk and uncertainty. We caution that a number of important factors could cause actual results to differ materially from those contained in forward-looking statements. For more information about potential risk and uncertainty, please refer to the company filing with SEC. Also, this call includes discussion of certain non-GAAP measures. Please refer to our earnings release for a reconciliation of the non-GAAP measure to the most directly comparable GAAP ones. Last, unless otherwise stated, all figures mentioned are in RMB. I will now turn the call over to our CEO, Mr. Wu Haisheng.
Thank you, Mandy. 各位晚上 好， 我非常自豪地和大家分享我们在二季度取得的成绩。二季度依然是一个宏观上充满挑战的季 度， 但是我们在很多方面都取得了公司有史以来最好的记录。Q2 单季度的放款量达到 ¥589 亿， 同比增长 21.8%，再贷余额由上季度的741亿增长至785亿。财务方面，Q2 的总收入达到33.4亿人民币。非美国准则净利润达到9.4亿人民币，都是上市以来表现最为突出的一个季度。
Hello, everyone. I'm very proud to report a strong financial and operating results for the second quarter. While the macro environment remained challenging, we still set a number of records in key operational metrics. Total loan origination reached 58.9 billion during the quarter, up 21.8% year-on-year. Outstanding loan balance increased to 78.5 billion from 74.1 billion a quarter ago. For the second quarter, total revenue reached 3.34 billion, and non-GAAP net income reached 942 million. This is the most outstanding quarterly result since our IPO.
在疫情影响还存在的宏观背景 下， 能取得这样的表 现， 说明我们坚持的稳健经营的策略是有效 的， 我们的客群和风控系统有非常强的韧性。我们长期积累下来的结构化优 势， 让我们在穿越 P2P 暴雷、监管风暴和新冠疫情这些行业风暴的时候屡次得到证明。国内经济超预期恢 复， 我们目前的业务数据依然是持续向 好， 这让我们对未来充满信心。
Our solid performance under the still uncertain macro backdrop further demonstrate the effectiveness of our prudent operational strategy, as well as the resilience of our customer base and our risk management system. We believe we have built a structural advantage over our peers, which enable us to successfully navigate through previous market uncertainties, such as the P2P crackdown, the regulatory changes, and the pandemic. In each of those cases, we further strengthened our leadership position. With the macro environment, economy recovers, we see continued improvement in our operational metrics, and we feel confident in our future prospects.
我们这个季度的 take rate 取得了很大的提升，这因为我们在风险、资金、获客等方面进一步进行精细化管 理， 大大提高了公司的效率。本季度我们的平均竞价 IR 口径大约在 27.2%， 如果折算成 APR 口径大约在15-16之间左右。我们的风险损失显著低于行业水 平， 风险先行指标 Day One 入催率在二季度末下降至 6.2%， 比疫情前的 6.5% 更好。我们的资金成本进一步降低至 7.2%， 相比于 Q1 的 7.7%， 也是明显低于行业水平。上半年我们发行11亿的 ABS， 位列第四，在蚂蚁、京东和小米之后。本季度我们的获客数量新增160万，比一季度多获客20万，获客成本167元，比一季度微增。另外，由于市场逐渐向头部集中，场景方介入分期服务的时候，越来越多的优先介入我们。我们已经与小米、美团、爱奇艺等11家头部的互联网公司发生合作，另外还有京东、滴滴、五八、微博等很多家公司在排队介入中。
Our take rates for the quarter improved noticeably, driven by our continued efforts to boost operational efficiency and to refine our risk management system, funding structure, and customer acquisition channels. Average pricing during the quarter was 27.2% on IRR basis, which is equivalent of 15 to 16% on the APR basis. Day one delinquency decreased to 6.2% at the end of Q2. This was even better than the pre-pandemic level of 6.5%. Moreover, our funding costs further decreased to 7.2% from 7.7% in the prior quarter, well below the peer average. In the first half of 2020, we issued a total 1.1 billion ABSs and ranked number 4 behind Ant Financial, JD, and Xiaomi in terms of a total insurance size. We acquired 1.6 million new customers with approved credit lines in the second quarter, which is 200,000 more than in Q1. And the average acquisition cost for those new customers was about 167, modestly higher than in Q1. As the market gradually consolidates toward the leading platforms, we have increasingly become the preferred fintech partner for many consumer-focused internet companies. So far, we have connected our service with 11 partners, including Xiaomi, Meituan, Aiqiyi, and many others, including JD, DD, 58.com, and Weibo are in the pipeline.
我们做的几个创新项目，这个季度也取得了超预期的成绩。我们的信用支付产品微零花，截止季度末日均交易达到5000万。每天交易笔数超过45万笔，累计开卡用户245万，和我们用户发生交易的商户数有超过200万家。另外，我们开发了一款叫自信引擎的产品，用来激活我们数量众多的睡眠用户。这个产品为我们带来日均2000万元的新增交易。我们预计这些产品的良好增长的态势将会持续，极大地增加了我们的用户粘性和活跃度。
Our new product initiatives also tracked very well in Q2. Daily transaction volume of our virtual credit card products VPocket reached RMB 15 million at the end of the second quarter, connecting 2.5 million accumulated users with about 2 million merchants and processing 450K daily transactions. Intelligent Credit Engine, which connects institutions with our vast inactive user base, add another RMB 20 million daily transaction volume to our platform. We expect the momentum to continue and greatly enhance the stickiness and activity level of our user base.
我们在向金融科技战略升级的道路上取得了更多的进步。从放款额的角度， Capital Light 模式以及其他科技输出模式的交易占比提升至 26.9%， 我们会继续大力提升这个比例，目标年底达到35%到40%。我们同时也会尝试更多的金融科技模式，我们把我们的风控能力标准化成一些产品输出给机构们。我们已经与6家机构开始了实质合作，现在排队接入的机构也超过20家。我们将继续在科技方面进行长期投入，提高竞争壁垒。我们累计因为我们的科技能力产生的平台收入已经接近50%， 所以我们正式向董事会和股东会发起提议，变更公司的名称为360数科，以更好地反映我们的现状和长期战略。
We made further progress in strategically upgrading to a technology-powered digital platform. During the quarter, Capital Light model and other tech-powered solutions account for over 26.9% of total loan origination, and we remain committed to increase the Capital Light contribution to 35% to 40% exiting this year. In addition to a Capital Light model, we're also working on standardize our risk management capability into SaaS modules and offer them to financial institutions. As of now, 6 institutions have already used this service and 20 more is in the pipeline. In the long run, we will continue to invest more in our fintech capabilities and further strengthen our competitive advantage. By our calculation, tech-enabled revenues and platform service revenues are already nearly 50% of our total revenue. Recently, we have proposed to our board of directors and shareholders to change our name to 360 Digitech, which will better reflect our current business dynamics and long-term strategies.
大家应该也关注到了最高法关于民间借贷司法保护定价下调的消息。由于准备得很充分，我们在消息发布后第一时间就组织投资者会议进行了沟通。虽然市场普遍认为这个规定是针对民间借贷的，但是我们也做好了金融监管部门会参考这个新规来管理的充分的准备。另外大多数的市场参与者认为新规中的利率上限是按照 APR 口径设定的，以一年期为例，15.4% 的 APR 对应的是27.3% 的 IR 利率，这就跟我们今天的平均费率是差不多的，所以对我们的影响是基本可控。我们之前也对某些客群做过一些降价的测试，我们也发现通过有针对性的降价，可能会在客户的活跃度和忠诚度上，有所提高，从而会带来更高的客户生命周期价值。另外我们也认为利率下行是监管趋势，我们也主观上其实希望是通过逐步的降低定价以服务更多的用户人群。另外我们的关联公司360也花费了一个巨大的代价去获取一张银行牌照，成为第一大股东。这件事情会为我们结构化的降低公司的资金成本，进一步的向我们的科技平台去升级提供了非常强的一个抓手。
Last week, the Supreme People's Court of PRC announced a new guideline to reduce court-protected interest rate cap for private lending. We have anticipated and prepared for this prior to the release. Shortly after the official announcement of the guideline, we held a conference call to communicate our point of view with the capital market. While it is generally believed that the new guidelines are only applicable to private lending, we are prepared for possibility that financial regulators may refer to this guideline as well. In addition, it is widely believed that the 15.4% interest rate cap referred in the guideline is the nominal APR basis, which is equivalent to roughly 27.3% on an IRR basis. This is more or less in line with our current average pricing. As a result, we expect its impact to our operations to be manageable. Recently, we test some experimental pricing structure with certain group users, essentially offering loans to them at a lower rate than they otherwise would get. The result indicates that a carefully managed pricing discount could potentially lead to a higher customer LTV to the company, as users may become more active and sticky. In the intermediate term, we believe that the regulators will likely encourage a gradual downward trend in the interest rate and is consistent with our long-term strategy of serving a much broader user base at a relatively lower price. In early May, our affiliate company, 360 Group, has committed significant resource in becoming the controlling shareholder of a national bank, KCB. This will provide strong and vital support for us to further reduce funding costs, diversify product offering, and strategically upgrade to a technology-powered digital platform.
最后给大家介绍一下我们的新任 CFO 徐作利先生。他以前是360在美国上市公司的 CFO， 和这里的很多人估计都会认识。我们的前 CFO 吴江现在任公司的 CSO。吴江在任 CFO 期间帮助公司建立了非常严谨的财务管理体系，也帮助公司树立了一个非常良好的资本市场形象，所以非常感谢他的付出。下面请徐先生来跟大家分享一下我们一些更具体的事情。
Finally, let me introduce our newly appointed CFO, Mr. Alex Xu. He was the CFO of Qihoo 360 when it was listed in the U.S. Many of you may have already know him. Our former CFO, Jiang Wu, has been appointed as our CSO. I would like to thank Jiang Wu for his great efforts in building up a prudent internal financial system and presenting our company in the capital market well.Now I will pass the floor to Alex Xu to dive into the details of financial performance. Thank you, Haisheng. Good evening and good morning, everyone. Welcome to our quarterly earnings call. For the interest of time, I will not go over all the financial line items on the call. Please refer to our earnings release for those details. Q2 marked a sharp rebound for our business momentum from Q1.As the concerns over COVID-19 gradually faded, the country entered recovery mode and economic activities gradually picked up during the quarter. Benefiting from such micro trend, we have experienced robust rebound in our operations, particularly in the second half of the quarter. Total net revenue for Q2 reached $3.34 billion versus $3.18 billion in Q1 and $2.23 billion a year ago.The year-over-year comparison is somewhat distorted by the accounting standard change early this year. Total operating expenses, excluding the provisions, increased 12% Q-on-Q, but decreased 27% year-on-year. The sequential increase was in part driven by our deployment of resources to support business growth in the quarter. In particular, we further strengthened our collection operations and on-the-ground customer acquisition team.The year-over-year decline reflects significant improvement in customer acquisition cost. Non-GAAP net income was $942 million versus $255 million in Q1 and $692 million a year ago. Once again, the year-over-year comparison was impacted by the accounting standard change. On an apple-to-apple comparison basis,Under the old accounting standard, non-GAAP net income would have been approximately $1.3 billion, representing an approximately 87% year-over-year increase. With a growing contribution from capital-light model and a sizable increase in shareholders' equity, leverage ratio declined meaningfully to 8.3 times in Q2 compared to 9.5 times in Q1.Again, leverage ratio will also impact by accounting standard change. Under the old standard, leverage ratio in Q2 would have been 6.3 times versus 9.8 times a year ago. While leverage ratio may vary from quarter to quarter, we expect to see overall downward trend going forward as capital light model continue to grow and we continue to create shareholders' equity.Meanwhile, our provision coverage ratio remained at a healthy 3.2 times in Q2 compared to 4.0 times in Q1. The sequential decrease in provision coverage ratio was mainly because loans originated in previous quarters performed better than expected, and the provision for those loans were lowered by approximately $300 million in Q2. For risk-bearing,loans originating in Q2, we took similar conservative approach to Q1 to estimate the potential losses and the provisions for contingent liability. Free cash reached a record high of $1.8 billion in Q2. This was largely driven by strong operating results and effective management of working capital. Total cash and cash equivalent were $7.4 billion at the end of Q2,Majority of our cash was allocated to security deposit with our financial institutional partners and also the registry capital of different entities to support our daily operation. We also leave a sizable buffer for any market uncertainties in the cash reserve. We believe that such a sufficient cash position will not only enable us to compete in the ever-changing market, but also position us to capture potential growth opportunity in the market recovery. Finally, let me give you some color about our outlook for the third quarter and the full year. The strong positive momentum we experienced in the second half of Q2 has continued into current quarter, both in demand and asset quality. However, with the global pandemic still lingering and the impact of the recent regulatory change still somewhat unclear, we will continue to take a prudent and conservative approach in our business planning. Therefore, we would like to maintain our full-year loan origination guidance of RMB 200 to 220 billion. With that, I would like to conclude our prepared remarks. Operator, we can now take some questions.
Thank you very much. We will now move on to the Q&A session. For those who could speak in Mandarin, please kindly ask your question in Mandarin first, followed by your English translation. Thank you. In order to have enough time to address everyone on this call, please keep your question to one main question and one follow-up question. If you have more questions, please return to the queue. Now, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off when you ask the question. If you find your question is answered before your turn to speak, you can press 02 to cancel your question. Once again, please press 014 on your telephone to ask a question. We have the question from Ms. Daphne Poon from Citi. The floor is yours, Ms. Daphne.
Hello, 管理层你们好。我这边主要两个问题吧，就第一个问题关于我们贷款定价的一个趋势，就是就刚才也提到，就是说大家就我们预期这个长期的贷款利率还是往下走的，然后可能最新的这个高院的新规可能会加快这个贷款利率往下走的一个趋势，所以就想了解一下，就是我们有没有大概预期，我们这边的一个 APR 可能，就是未来几个季度或者一两年的时间，大概会下降多少，就这个幅度。然后还有就是想问一下，就是我们有没有做过一个 stress test， 就是说大概我们的一个break even 的这个贷款定价会在什么水平？然后第二个问题是关于刚才提到的这个智能风控，就是intelligence credit engine 的这个东西，就是刚才提到是可以用来激活用户，就是能不能多讲一下，就是关于这个可能跟你们现在就是capital light 的那个模式有什么差别，然后包括这边的一个贷款的一些 features 吧，比如说定价期限 ticket size。So I will translate the questions. So mainly two questions. The first question is regarding your loan pricing. Just want to get a sense from the management how, given the latest regulation coming out from the Supreme Court, how fast and how much you expect your APR to come down, say, in the coming few quarters or next 1 to 2 years' time, and also whether you have done any stress test about what your break-even interest rate would be. And the second question is about the intelligence credit engine that you mentioned earlier. You mentioned it's for activating some your existing users. So can you elaborate more in terms of the product features such as long-term pricing, ticket size, et cetera, and how does that difference from your current capital-like model? Thank you.
谢谢戴明。第一个关于那个利率趋势的问题，对，我们很早其实就已经从监管层面已经认为这个趋势会发生。实际上我们主观意愿上其实也是想把这个价格去往下做，因为利率越低 这个客群的规模越大，所以我们公司当然是想去服务更多的客群，这是第一。
Okay, in terms of the trend of interest rate or the pricing, actually quite a while ago, we already determined that the overall interest rate trend will gradually trending down, both from our understanding with the regulatory environment and also from actually internal assessment. We believe that with a gradually lowered interest rate or pricing, we can reach a broader base, a much broader user base, and you know, to basically increase the overall size of a business in the long run.
然后从条件上来讲，我们其实具备很好的这个降低利率的条件。我们的 take rate 今天是非常高的，我们的运营效率也很高，所以我们的条件很好。因为就是我们自己通过这个对银行牌照的利用，我们会结构化的解决公司的低成本资金的问题，所以我们有可能会在我们的这个成本方面会得到进一步的降低，所以我们具备很好的降价的条件。
And also we look at the you know the our current structure in terms of take rate. I think we have a pretty reasonably good take rate of our current operation, which means that there's plenty of room to maneuver in the new interest environment. And also our overall operational efficiency probably among the best in among our peers. And that again give us the room to kind of a profit or getting growth in the new interest environment. And then with the KCB joined as our partner, we have a further advantage in terms of low-cost funding, you know, that also will help us dealing with a relatively lower pricing environment.
好，然后盈亏平衡的问题，请那个 Alex 帮我说一下。
Yeah, and increase in terms of a break-even point to your second part of the first question. There obviously is a little bit too early to do the detailed calculation, but roughly speaking, it's just a back of the envelope kind of a calculation. Right now we look at it, it's about 16% on the IRR basis. That's somewhere around that number is our break-even point based on current model. That point, by the way, we haven't really considered any sort of incremental volume that associated with the lower rate environment.
关于第二个问题，那个我们叫自信引擎的一款产品。这个产品的这个初衷是解决我们有接近3000万的授信用户，那我们实际跟我们在发生交易的用户有1000多万，所以中间有大量的用户其实还存在一个被挖掘的空间。所以这款产品设计的初衷就是能够通过银行的品牌，通过差异化的定价来激活这些用户，因为有可能用户喜欢用银行品牌来发生这个借贷服务。
Okay, in terms of an intelligent credit engine, really the purpose for that is to activate our you could call it sleepy users. As you know, we have nearly 30 million users with the approved credit line. But on any given quarter or any given time, the one that actually uses the credit line is only less than 10 million. So there's close to 20 million users, we can call it inactive user. For those users, we link them with the financial institutions. The product itself will based on the bank's brand as opposed to the 360 brand. And also we use a differentiating pricing to attract those users. So for many users, they may have a better kind of a impression to the bank's brand in this case. That's how we can activate those users from a sleepy kind of a stage.
这个产品跟那个 Capitalize 这个模式的区别在于它是使用的合作金融机构的品牌显示， 然后贷后管理也会有金融机构去完成。我们更多是给用户提供这个获客和智能风控的服务，所以相应的在这个商业的分成比例上，我们也会比 Capitalize 略低一点，但是基本接近它。
Okay, and the difference between this intelligence credit engine and the capitalized model is that under the intelligent credit engine, like I said earlier, the brand is under the bank's brand, not our brand. And also in this model, we don't do after loan management. The bank will do that after loan management there. Whereas the capitalized model, we do the after lending management work. So, but we do help the bank to do the customer acquisition and also some pre-screens of in terms of risk management prior to the lending activity. So the pricing or the take rate between the intelligent credit engine and the capitalized. The intelligent credit engine side is slightly lower than the capitalized model, but not much, too much difference there. Yeah, that's it.
好的，谢谢管理层。好的，谢谢管理层。就想追问一下，就是刚才提到我们现在的 take rate 还比较高，所以可能会有比较多的 buffer。就是想问一下，我们有没有可能长期对 take rate？的一个 outlook 就是大概长期降到什么水平，你们是觉得比较 comfortable 的，就是包括 take rate 和 ROE 吧。So just a follow up question, regarding the longer term take rate and ROE outlook, at what level you think it will decline to, or you feel more comfortable in the long term? Thanks.
我们应该没有把这个 take rate 作为公司的一个管理目标，它可能是一个管理过程带来的一个结果，要带来的一个过程目标。更多的我们还是想去服务更多的用户，服务更多的机构，把市场做大。那我们具体把 take rate 设置在哪儿，可能取决于不同的市场条件。但中期来看的话，公司的价值取决于我们对这个社会对用户的规模发生了多少的这种连接，而不是这个 take rate 本身。但是我们也会去做一个很好的把握，不会让它降得太快或者降得太低，以维持更好的维持公司的可持续性。
So we really don't set a target for the take rate in our daily operation. Really what we look at this dynamic is thatin the so-called new interest environment, we want to serve a broader user base. As the environment drives the overall take rate probably for the entire industry gradually lower, then we just follow that and, in that trend. So we don't foresee or we don't expect take rate to see dramaticdecline in any short period of time. It's more like a gradual with overall industry environment kind of scenario there.
好的，明白，谢谢。
Thank you very much. So for those who like to ask your question, you can ask in Mandarin and followed by your English translation. So in order for you to have enough time to address everyone on this call,please keep your question to one main question and one follow-up question. Now, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone. If you'd like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone. Next, we will have Mr. Zeki Zhu from China Renaissance to ask your question. The floor is yours, Mr. Zeki.
哎，管理层晚上好。这个首先非常恭喜您这边一个非常亮丽的业绩啊。那我这边如果一个问题的话，就想问一下资产质量这块。那看到这个二季度其实资产质量这个恢复的这个趋势是非常好啊。那想请教一下这个七八月份的这个 day one delinquency rate 和三十天回收的这个比例是目前是怎么样的啊？是不是有一个继续的这个回升？然后第二个问题是我们上半年的这个新放款预估的这个 vintage loss 目前是一个什么水平？ 然后再接着一个小问题，就是想问一下，就是我们有没有这个七天的这个逾期率的一个披露啊、大概这个七天的逾期率大概的这个趋势是怎么样的？谢谢。Sorry, I will translate. Congrats on the results. My main question is about the asset quality. So just want to ask, what is the trend in July and August regarding day one delinquency rate, 30 days collection rate, and what is our estimate for the vintage loss ratio for the new loans issued in the first half? And lastly, what is the day seven delinquency rate, if we can disclose that? Thank you.
好的，那个，我们从疫情过后，我们其实看到数据一直都在变好，且这个变好速度超过了之前我们预期的一个速度，然后，这个变好速度一直到今天为止依然还是在持续着。我们截止到目前，我们的入催率已经降到了六以下，对，已经且连续几周都是在六以下。那六以下已经是我们近两年的一个最佳的水平。然后回收率这一块的话，我们从六月就二季度底的百分之八十八左右，已经回升到接近90%的一个水平，89.5%左右。对，这个数据是确实是一直在变好的过程。然后vintage loss 的话，我们之前给的全年的 guidance 是12.5%到3.5%之间。那基于目前我们看到的一些数据和对未来的一个预估，我们认为这个我们 Q2 季度的放款vintage loss 会在3%左右的一个水平。对，那也不排除说可能会变得更好的一个情况。对，然后FPD7 的话，我们观察 FPD7 的话，我们从当时疫情前其实一直都在0.9%到1%左右的一个水平。那疫情期间我们有一周最高的时间涨到了1.84%。对，然后但这个数字在二月份末的最后一周的交易，这些客户他的首逾到七天这个数据已经立即降到一以下，然后一直到目前这个数字一直在持续下降的趋势，截止目前最近的几周是在0.8%左右的一个水平。
Okay, Jackie, the overall improvement of asset quality continued into current quarter, and Ms. Zheng basically mentioned that exiting the second quarter, our day one delinquency was about 6.2%, and now, if you look at the current number, it's already, for a few weeks, it's already consistently below 6% in terms of day one delinquency. And then for the 30-day collection rate, exiting the second quarter, we were at about 88%. Right now, this number is already between 89% and 90%. So it's continue on a very positive trend line there. In terms of the vintage loss, for expected vintage loss for the current portfolio, our range we were given was between 2.5% to 3.5%. Right now, this number, or I would say the second quarter ending, this number sitting about 3%. Given the delinquency leading indicator trend, we look at it, it's possible down the road the actual vintage loss probably will be lower than that number. In terms of the FPD7, the delinquency there, pre-pandemic, we were running at about the 0.9% to 1%. At the peak of the pandemic, we were hit like 1.84%. Now this number is already coming back to significantly lower. Right now we're running about 0.8% for that metric.
感谢郑总。那我这边再追问一个问题，就是我们二季度。因为之前其实就看到了一个这个资产质量回升的这个趋势啊，那二季度我们的这个财报里边应该是有一个这个针对疫情回升的一个 write back， 就是 provision 这块， 那这个大概数字是一个怎么样的？然后接下来三季度会预期我们有持续的这个 write back. So a simple follow up on this. I observed that given the improved asset quality, we should have the provision write back in the second quarter. So what is it? Is the number, and do we expect further write back in the third quarter? Thank you.
Sure, Jackie. I will take this part of question. If you look at the financial statement, for the first quarter, we booked a $1.7 billion provision for contingent liability. Of that $1.7 billion, $1.4 is for the loans issued in the Q1, and then $300 million was for the loan issued prior to Q1. And then in the second quarter, the total provision for a contingent liability was about $1 billion. Within that $1 billion, the provision for the loan issued in Q2 was actually $1.32 billion. But at the same time, because the loans we issued in previous quarter actually performed better than we initially thought, so there will be a write-back about $300 million in Q2, for those provision numbers there. Let's give you the net provision for contingent liability for Q2 at about $1 billion.
Thank you. So do we expect further write-back in the third quarter?
Oh, sorry. The if you look at the way we took the provisions there, for the first and second quarter, for the new loans, we took pretty much similar number of amount of a provision. One is $1.4 billion, the second quarter is $1.3 billion. So both on a, I would say, very conservative approach to estimate the provision there. If the trend we're looking today continued, meaning the asset quality continued to improve, you should probably continue to expect to see this write back on the provisions in the coming quarters.
Got it. That's very helpful. 谢谢管理层.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now I would like to call upon Mr. Stephen Chong from Haitong International. Mr. Stephen, the floor is yours.
谢谢管理层. 我有一个关于这个公司策略的问题。现在我们的名字很快就要改了，名字就变成了360 Digi10。我就想了解一下，对于未来的公司的策略会不会有所改变？就是说，原本我们的 focus 可能是 FinTech。会不会就像其他的大头一样，慢慢的就会把我们的 FinTech 改成一个 TechFin， 就是 More Tech Focus， Fin 就是一个比较 chill 的东西。尤其是刚才也听到，就是说我们开始发展那个什么 Intelligent Credit Engine 那块啊，可能就是用那些银行的名字然后就帮他们获客我就想了解一下，所以简单说就是未来会不会从 FinTech 变成TechFin， 如果真的要有这个过程的话，未来我们相对于比较现在的比较大的 Internet 的 player 的话，应该相对于我们应该是比较哪一家了？会不会就是跟平安的一站通，或者就是跟京东差不多了？So I'll translate that. After the change of the name from 360 Finance to 360 Digitech, I just want to understand whether there will be any change in the business strategy, especially are we going to change from a fintech company to a techfin company, especially we're going to introduce, we have introduced this intelligent credit engine, which is very similar to capital light model. And if we really are going to change from a fintech company to a techfin company, which bigger players should we compare us with? Should we compare with One Connect or Jingdong? Thanks.
谢谢 Steven. 对，我们确实在这个季度开始建议把公司名称改为360数科，是因为我们这家公司当时孵化的时候，我们的基因就是，就是科技，我们是一帮来自360的一个团队在孵化这家公司，所以我们这么多年积累下来的这个更多的这个能力和资源都是关于技术的，那把它，用在这个金融领域里面是最直接最有效率的方法。但是我们也认为短期内我们的优势更多的还是确实在金融领域，所以我们也短期不会超越金融领域去想别的服务，但是在金融领域里面我们认为我们依然还有很多很多的事情可以做。首先是从这个客群层面，我们认为我们今天我们今天服务的客群更多的是在这个中档利率的水平，那这个行业是利率越低客群基数越大，所以我们有很强的动力去服务更大的客群，所以我们一直在寻求各种方法，包括对金城银行的收购，去追求服务更多的人群，所以我们从客群的角度，我们将会是市场上可能是唯一一家服务全客群的公司。
Okay, Steve, thanks for the question. So yes, we propose to change our name from 360 Finance to 360 Digitech, because if you look at the history of the company, the founding team of the company, as you know, is coming from 360 Group, which by itself is more a tech-based team. Our resources, at least in the initial funding, the resources and the capabilities are all coming from the technology side. We just apply those resources and technologies to the financial service industry there. In the short term, we still have a lot of things we can do for the financial service segment of the market. And for example, the customers we're serving today are more or less focused on the mid to higher end in terms of interest range. Down the road, we are looking for a much broader user base to cover the lower end or mid to lower end, the interest rate. In particular, with the help of the KCB, that will enable us to reach that goal. So eventually, we'll find ourselves build a, whether you call it a tech thing or fintech platform. It's a very unique one compared to most of others, because we become probably one of the only can serve a broader, I would say, full range of the interest range of a customer base down the road.
对，另外一方面就是从这个机构角度，刚才是那个从客群角度，另外从机构角度呢，我们今天服务了这个近百家的机构，我们也有很多这种那个场景方，这些机构我们其实可以发生更多的业务的协同，我们已经把这些能力标准化成那个各种项目去输出给这些机构，那未来我想我们可以跟这近百家机构的除了这个助贷业务之外呢，会发生越来越多的基于科技能力的，基于这个风控营销贷后各种能力的一种服务，那这种呢确实像你说的有些这个像平安的金融一站通，所以所以短期来看的话，我们有可能会是一家类似蚂蚁借呗和加这个金融一站通的这样的一个公司，但是较长时间，如果把时间放得更长一点的话，我们可能给用户提供的不只是借贷服务，那有可能是在借贷以外的保险或者是别的服务，所以的话它可能就不只是蚂蚁借呗加金融一站通，它可能是我们去追求一家类似蚂蚁的一个综合金融服务。
Sure, and then also Stephen, from the institutional side, as you know, right now we already has a relationship with over 100 financial institutions, and many of those institutions have the different sort of service scenarios that we can work on. And to develop in the future, to develop look more like a standardized products to achieve our sort of a tech enabling capability there. In the long run, we can help those institutions from both technology and risk management and customer acquisition front, to serve them to become really a major tech platform for those players. From that perspective, we probably, to your question, looks a little bit similar to OneConnect there. But at the same time, we also have this loan facilitation business there, and also the lending business. That's to some degree has looks like a combination of Ant Financial's GFA plus OneConnect. Further beyond that, as you know, we get one of our affiliates get the insurance kind of a broker license. That can be in the future become part of our kind of listing company's portfolio. So we can expand that business into beyond the current lending plus tech service, adding additional elements in there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. In the essence of time, we would like to have the next last question from Mr. Ethan Wong from CLSA. The floor is yours, Mr. Ethan.
谢谢管理层给我这个最后提问的机会。我就问其关于获客渠道这边的，想请教一下管理层，咱们现在这个获客渠道的大概一个分布的比例是怎么样的，特别是跟疫情前相比有没有一个显著的变化？因为我们现在是这个更加做这个老的客户。另外就想请教一下这个威灵花这边能不能给我们一些更多的数字，就是它的增长情况，谢谢。My question is on customer acquisition channel. Wondering what is the split of the customer acquisition channel now compared to pre-pandemic? Hope management can share some more data on the V credit product, so we can understand more about its growth. Thank you.
对，关于获客，我们过去的比较长的时间里面，还是把这个风险放在第一位去考虑问题，所以新客的规模相比来讲，做的比过去要略少一些，但是我们的成本也是得到了一个非常好的控制，在目前的获客量级和这个成本结构下，我们的获客压力是非常小的。也就是说我们还有很多的这个获客空间。那在过去的这个时间里面呢，我们一方面是这个通过更加精准的技术去降低我们的获客成本，另外呢，我们也创新了很多的这种多元化的获客方式，比如说像您提到的威灵花，比如我们也现在大量的去跟各种互联网公司去接入他们的场景，我们也尝试了用这种地面线下团队的这种方式来获客，应该讲都取得了非常好的成绩。
Okay, in terms of the customer acquisition, given the current market uncertainty, still lingering uncertainty in the market, our customer acquisition strategy were more focused on the existing old users, you can call that. Mm-hmm.As opposed to the new users. That basically give us the pretty good handle in terms of a control of the customer acquisition cost. In addition to focus on the existing users, we also take some approach in technology as well as in the way or the format we acquire users to control the customer acquisition cost. For example,we have the partnership with the one we mentioned, like the Xiaomi Meituan, those kind of internet platform that, we connect to our service we get a certain type of a revenue sharing model during the with them to do the customer acquisition. That also help us to enhance our overall user acquisition cost there. And there are still... given our current focus is on the existing user, meaning there's still quite a bit room for us to acquire new users down the road when we feel the overall market condition is right. We will basically adjust our strategy, with the time.
我想重点讲一下其中的一个场景获客的渠道，因为去年的话，我们这个方法可能占比还是比较低的个位数，那现在来看的话，它这个渠道占比已经可能突破 20%， 这个代表了一种趋势，就是在也是跟现在的行业背景有关系。 过去呢，我们的发现，大的这些流量产品平台，它在寻找分期服务或者是做金融变现的时候，它的选择很多，它可以跟很多公司去合作。那现在呢，一是这些公司逐渐退出这个市场，因为门槛越来越高。第二就是我们的产品和用户体验在市场上逐渐的得到了非常好的认可，因为从用户投诉的角度来看。 我们以我们这么大的体量，我们的投诉量在各大投诉平台排名非常非常的靠后，也就是说，我们的用户体验控制的非常好，而这些场景方去接入的时候，他会一方面考虑商业收入，另外会考虑用户体验。所以现在可以看到，很明显的趋势是，我们今天在去接这些场景机构的时候，受欢迎程度越来越高，现在。
So I want to spend some time emphasize on this new customer acquisition strategy in terms of partnership with the so-called internet platforms out there. In the past, they have many partners they can choose from, meaning the other fintech platforms. But as the time goes, they realize both from the asset quality as well as the customer service perspective, in particular, the customer complaints ratio and all these metrics, we are way ahead of our peers. So we essentially become the default or the best partner for those so-called internet platforms there. That's why recently, we start to accelerate the connecting with our service with these internet partners there. As we mentioned in the prepared remarks, we had connect 11 in total already, and then there's still quite a bit numbers out there in the pipeline. Right now, the total customer acquisition from these kind of a partnership already accounts for about 20% of our total new customer acquisition.
对，最后我还可以补充一下，我们如何利用银行牌照来获取更多的客群，因为银行的特点是它的品牌比较好，它的这个资金成本很低，所以允许我们第一就是经营一款自营的低定价的这个产品，可以直接从市场上靠口碑和它的服务去获取用户。另外就是说，因为这种银行的品牌，让我们可以更多的去接入。 更广泛的这种流量场景，所以它会打开一个更多的这个获客的渠道，所以这个牌照会有利于帮助我们去实现我们去服务全客群经营的一个战略目标，所以我们还是致力于成为一家市场上唯一一个在合法合规的条件内去全客群经营的一家公司。
And also, secondly, I want to also refer to our relationship or our potential partnership with the bank, with KCB, because the relatively speaking, the banks have better branding or brand recognition or brand quality, as well as low cost capital there. So we can design by partner with the KCB, we can design a lot of different kind of low-priced products offered to our customers. And also with the bank joined our efforts, we can connect this kind of platform with more scenario-based situations there and eventually cover a much broader user base in terms of the different interest range or different pricing range. That's again back to our goal. Eventually, we want to serve a much broader, I would say, full range, interest range customer base from low to high down the road.
谢谢。
好的，谢谢关宇。
Thank you very much. So, ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Thank you very much.